This week on It's So Bad, SNK goes run and gun as we're adding Metal Slug, the first Metal Slug, Super Vehicle 001, to the endless list. Hello, Chris.
Why, hello again. No talk. I know. Where does the time go?
Matt. Sir.
Time is a human construct.
You really sold everybody on Marvel vs. Capcom on that last one. You pushed that yourself, that boulder up that hill.
Me?
Yeah, on the last episode. I just want to point that out. You really shouldered the burden.
Marvel vs. Capcom's a good game. You know, I do it for good games.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., wherever you find your podcast these days. We're adding Metal Slug, the run-and-gun game from SNK for the Neo Geo and the arcade, to the endless list, which is our list of games, all games. They can be platformers, they can be run-and-gun games, they can be action platformers, Metroidvanias, fighting games, simulators, puzzle games, edutainment, everything is on this list. This is our 93rd entry on the list as we make our way to our 100th edition. The list currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at 92. We judge this list based upon a number of different criteria. For those who have never listened to this podcast, it's judged by how we're feeling in the moment, if we've just had an energy drink, if it's 9:30 at night, if
Did
we
you just
read
have
something
an energy
about
drink
it
at 9:30 at night.
No, but I had one before we jumped on this call, and that's why I'm talking like this. But nevertheless, a lot of different factors. The gameplay is really important. The graphics, how it holds up, how it was received when it came out. All of these things we consider. Everything. And also nothing. Because this list is meaningless. Such is life. But nevertheless, we're adding this game this week.
That was a pretty good description. I don't think it was as good as when Matt and I last week were finishing each other's sentences, but that was good nonetheless.
Yeah,
that was really fun doing this over the internet while my internet is going up and down. We're going that was fun. But nevertheless, yes, we were adding Metal Slug this week. The Nazca Corporation developed game published by SNK. What are your guys' history with this game? Have you guys heard of the? I know you guys have heard this game, but when did you first discover Metal Slug? Because I feel like people discovered this game. Nobody knew about it when it came out.
I discovered this game either at a Pizza Hut, a hotel arcade, or the mall.
Yeah, that's probably where I discovered it as well.
Yeah,
every SNK machine I ever encountered had this or Samurai Showdown.
Oh.
Or Bust a Move.
Yeah, similar experience for me. I think, and it could be wrong because my memory could be a little foggy, but I feel like I played this at what was that like batting cage place that a lot of us had birthdays at when we were like little
kids?
Oh,
Strike One.
I'm pretty sure like the room that you could rent when you had a birthday party had the machine with Metal Slug in it. Because I remember like playing it going like, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
You can talk about Strike One, but you can't talk about Good Times. What is this?
Listen, man, you don't need to pull back the curtain that much in our where we live.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this game is one of those games that was in like a lot of different arcades at the time.
Yeah.
I always, you know, growing up, I don't think I had a very good experience. I enjoyed Samurai Showdown growing up, but those Neo Geo games, because I remember playing like Super Baseball 2020 and what's the other baseball game? Baseball Stars. And a quarter gave you like two innings. So I was always like, this sucks.
Yeah, they're bad value. Yeah. Fighting games are where it's at. You just beat the other guy and you get to play forever.
Right, exactly.
King of the Monsters was my... That was a Neo Geo arcade game. Yeah. I was big in the King of the Monsters.
Yeah, this game's weird for being a Neo Geo game, right? There's not a lot of action platformers or like any besides the Metal Slug games.
Well, I guess you don't need more than this.
Yeah, that mean.
Yeah, I mean they hit brilliance immediately, right?
Yeah, this game came out in 1996. Neo Geo must have came out in like I didn't look it up, but I think 93 or 94. So, maybe even earlier than that. But this game was one of their first action platformers. They had run and gun games, but like top down games. I think before this game came out, NOM 19 something. That game, it's about Vietnam, but it's a top-down
Vietnam.
Yeah, it's a top-down shooter, like Ikari Warrior type deal, Commando,
or like Contra 3 weird levels.
Yeah, but like that kind of, but better, because those Contra 3 levels were miserable. Those top-down ones, but yeah, and they also had Shock Troopers,
like Smash TV.
Yeah, like Smash TV, but the different concept because it's more like a scrolling stage.
Oh, so like a 1942.
Yeah.
Like, got it.
Yeah. Cool. More in the vein of Total Carnage, which was the sequel to Smash TV.
Never heard of it.
But yes, this game came out, was made by Nazca Corporation, which was like a bunch of people left IRIM to start their own company. And this is one of the first games they made. At IRIM, this person named Kazuma Kujo, who was a designer on this game, he oversaw the design, writing, and concept, oversaw the development of In the Hunt and Gunforce 2. And if you look at In the Hunt specifically, also to a lesser extent Gunforce 2, In the Hunt is exactly the same art style as Metal Slug. And it is a action, not a platformer, just like an action shooter without scrolling. So you move the screen yourself.
But you control a submarine?
Yeah.
I'm looking at a YouTube video now.
Yeah, you control a submarine, and you have a button where you can shoot forward, and you can shoot up and down at the same time. Yeah. So that
It looks like it's the exact same like engine almost.
Right.
I don't know how games were made at this time, but yeah, you can definitely see this. It's the same DNA.
Yeah, and the game was super hard. And one of the reasons why it's super hard is you're a submarine and the water is like half to three quarters of the screen. So when there's stuff coming at you, it's really hard to move around to get around it.
You don't have much maneuverability.
So it's a total quarter eater. That game's pretty cool if you want to check it out. It's on the Switch. I think it's on PS4 too for the Arcade Archives for people out there. But yeah, so they made that game. They also made a game called Gunforce 2. So Gunforce 2 looks kind of similar, but it is a run and gun game, and it's definitely, Metal Slug is definitely an iteration on that. So when they left Nazca Corporation when they left IRIM and formed the Nazca Corporation, they wanted to make something similar, and they started off by making the run and gun game Metal Slug.
Interesting.
Yeah, and also I'd also say interesting too, Takashi Nishiyama, who was the producer on this game, he also has shown up on our list before. He was the guy who designed Kung Fu Master. He also designed Street Fighter, the original Street Fighter. He moved on to SNK, and then he made Fatal Fury and the Art of Fighting series. So he's the producer on this.
Interesting. When you say Kung Fu Master, you mean like the Kung Fu NES game?
So he didn't make the NES game, he made the arcade game.
Oh.
Got it. Cool. Yeah.
Metal Slug, yeah. It's a game.
Metal Slug, though. Very cool game. I love that it's like a faux World War II. Is it ever like? Do we know anything about the story?
Is it supposed to be World War II?
Well, doesn't 2023
the future? Yeah, I was gonna say 2025, 2023, whatever it is.
You are Captain Marco Rossi or Lieutenant Tarma Roving of the Peregrine Falcon Strike Force. You're sent in to locate and eliminate General Borden, who has basically what it says in the story is that he executed a coup d'etat on all of the global leaders.
A coup d'etat?
Yeah.
You would have thought that after the first or second, the third or fourth would have seen it coming.
Right. So he's you are sent in as part of this team to destroy or reclaim the metal slugs, which are out there just lying around in the world.
And so the metal slugs are the tanks, right?
That's right.
So the tanks that you seem to blow up quite a bit in this game. I don't think you really recovered anything.
I see a bit of a disconnect between the lore and the gameplay itself. They don't seem all that important.
It's a little tongue in cheek, I think, you know? It's just a delivery. That story's just a delivery device to a sweet running quasi bullet hell shooting game, you know?
Yeah, this story doesn't matter because all the bad guys are basically just Nazis. They just don't call them Nazis.
Right.
They look exactly like Nazis.
And honestly, really, the point of the game is saving all the POWs. To me.
Yeah, somewhat. In the actual lore of the game, the the POWs all are there because they're used as human shields by Morden. That's why they're just hanging around the world in front of you.
Yeah, so Metal Slug. It's a run and gun, like you said. You start off with a pistol. You've got bombs that you throw in an arc.
Yep. You got three buttons.
You can
three buttons, shoot, three buttons, jump, and grenade. Right. That's it.
And then you go around the levels and you encounter POWs that you have to like either shoot or attack to free because they're all tied up or indisposed somehow. And then they'll dance around until you walk up to them, and then they'll give you a power-up of some kind, either a lot of points or a new weapon. And your pistol that you start with has unlimited ammo, but the other weapons they give you have limited ammo. And then, you just...
Fight your way through.
Survive.
You get a nice little melee attack.
You just go to the right.
You get a melee attack. You get a little knife swipe when you're close to enemies. You mentioned the weapon power-ups. Like, the weapon power-ups in this game are fantastic. Like, hitting...
I mean,
like
every...
They're pretty good.
The shotgun is the best shotgun I've ever had in a video game. I love the shotgun of this video game.
it's interesting, I think, what really works in favor of why the weapons work and why the knife works and... to a lesser extent, why the grenade works is because the animations and the graphics are so good that, like, when you get the flame shot, the guys burst into a ball of flames and they go, "Ah!"
Oh, so good.
It's so good.
And you see like their corpses or their bodies like just run around on fire.
Yeah, it feels so good.
And like the shotgun, like they like evaporate. And I feel like too, like when you knife people, they just like there's this like squirt. It's not bloody because it must be like a ratings thing, but like you just see them kind of like open up and explode.
So to that, I was going to ask what version you guys played for this podcast. I don't remember. So I don't remember like how the arcade games looked per se, because I haven't played one of the arcade like forever. But I bought the Metal Slug Anthology Collection, I think it was, on PS4 for this podcast.
PS4.
No, I bought whatever they had in PS4. They have like Metal Slug in a couple different versions. But either way, the version that I bought had the Japanese version and the American version. And from what I understand, like the only real difference between the Japanese version and the American version is blood, because there is blood everywhere in the Japanese version. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, it's like gushers of blood and, you know, everything's just a little gorier. And I was like, this is fucking sweet.
Yeah, because I played it on the Arcade Archives version on the Switch. You can switch between Japanese or English. And I was playing on the Japanese version, and yeah, it's very bloody.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. So good.
Yeah, I played the arcade ROM, but it must have been an American ROM. And I didn't see any blood.
Oh, it's a comical amount of blood at times. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's like spouting. It's like Kill Bill level.
That's cool.
So yeah, this game, you know, the enemies and the animations we've already talked about are really great. I would also say too, you guys mentioned that the Metal Slug wasn't that great of a vehicle.
Well, it was a great vehicle. It didn't seem thematically important.
So when you played this game, how far could you get on one credit? I'm just curious.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the first level. It took me like $4 to beat the game.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that was about where I was at.
I feel like if you're playing strategically and not like dicking around, like you know it's an arcade game. If you're at, because I was like trying to do one credit clears of this game, and I think that the Metal Slug is the actual tank is pretty good. It's the only way you can fire diagonally in this game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's got like the full 360 kind of angle. Just talking to like you know how far you can get on a credit. I think you know. I think inherently, all arcade games are unfair.
Oh yeah, of course.
But I think that the first few levels in this are pretty fair. It's really like maybe the third level, maybe the second level, but at least the first level seems fair. Like it seems like you could beat it
right
on a credit. But I do think this game towards the end, especially like the last or second to last level, gets a little stupid.
Yeah.
With how many enemies it throws at you, and just like, you know, there's a certain point where like the guys will jump at you and immediately knife you, and it's like there's like a switch where all of a sudden they become far more lethal.
Well, that's what's the problem is those guys boats? Come at you at I don't think those are that bad, but once the guys that dive at you, the guys with the knives who dive at you, they come at you at a diagonal. And when I said, so when you can't shoot diagonal, is you can't hold it diagonal, but you can
right in contra, but, like in contra,
yeah,
right.
But you when you fire forward and you go up, he sprays in an arc.
Right.
So you have to be like very well timed in order to get that guy who comes at you at a diagonal, if you want to do that, if you want to kill him. But yeah, you can kill him. It's just yeah, I think like the fourth level is when it gets like absurd. There's like a very steep difficulty curve in this game towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
I will say, this kind of made me put in perspective when I was trying to keep track of how many quote-unquote credits or quarters I was, like, putting in to play through this game, and I was kind of thinking about going, like, I was like, yeah, you know, like, kind of, like, massive, like, I think it was, like, $4 or $5 worth of virtual quarters is what I needed to complete this game, and I feel like that is actually, for how hard arcade games were, like, when we were kids, like, that actually kind of feels like a deal, almost in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think now it feels like a deal, but like I think back to when I used to be given coins or whatever for an arcade, like I would be given maybe $10, and if you told 10-year-old me that, oh, you have to spend half of your money to beat this game, I would rather not do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have.
I don't know. I saw my, like, each quarter was worth so much more to me back then. But, like, it was a waste of time for me to just put in a quarter and, like, just for a boss fight.
I guess I
feel like I was
think,
spoiled. I think I got, like, $20 whenever we went to, like, the roller rink or the arcade or whatever we were on.
I don't remember exactly what it was that I got, but, you know, to Matt's point, like, you know, I could. I think if I knew that I could beat the game with $4, $5 worth of quarters, I probably would have stuck with it, but I probably would have like lost like $3, and I probably would have been like, no, too rich for my blood. But it's like also like
I agree completely.
But like but I kind of compare it to when I think of like playing like that the Simpsons arcade fighting game, or like the Spider-Man fighting arcade game, like those just like they sap you of quarters like left and right, and you know, I looked at those as like, well, I was like, that's going to be like a $10 investment to try to like get through that game. And you know, this is a little bit more palatable, I guess. But
those games are not as good as this game, by the way.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But like, yeah, but like, kind of like we were talking about like Marvel versus Capcom at some point. It's like you walk into an arcade, you see a Metal Slug cabinet or a cabinet playing Metal Slug, and you don't know who those people are, but you see Spider-Man on a cabinet, and you're like, well, I got to dump my quarters in there because I like Spider-Man, but.
No, absolutely.
Different pod, though. Very interesting topic, I think, but different pod.
The bosses in these levels are pretty fucking sweet for the most part, too, except for, like, the guy... anytime it's a guy with a gun, it's kind of lame, but when they're, like, the big machines, they're pretty fun.
Yeah, the bosses are almost the most fair part, except for the guy that you mentioned with the machine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big machines, they're, like, the most fair parts of the game, it felt like.
Right. Because they have predictable patterns around what they're doing for the most part.
Right. Yeah, and if you figured it out, you can avoid it.
Right.
Right. Whereas I feel like there are certain times in the later levels where you can get stuck in a certain part of the progression through a level or like on the screen where like there's just an endless spawn of guys coming in that are either jumping at you with a knife or throwing grenades.
Or,
and yeah, you could just move forward, but like it's unsafe to move forward, and you get in these positions where like you're bound to lose a quarter.
Right, and all you know, they also incorporate those airplanes in the later levels, and those combined with guys on the screen throwing grenades. Right. And there's some even areas where they have trenches where it's like really hard to get guys because there are like two rows of trenches. One guy's throwing a grenade, another guy's shooting at you, so. The arc of it combined with the shot is just it gets really hard. You can do it.
You're forced almost to use the grenade, really.
Right.
Like you were saying to I will say I appreciate, and I even remember being a kid and appreciating this, that like you die from one hit and pretty much all of the just soldiers, enemy soldiers die from one hit. There's no, like, you know, imbalance of, oh, I can only take one hit, but it takes, like, 10 shots to kill
right.
the bad guy.
Yeah.
Except for Arnold, the machine gun boss.
Machine gun boss is really probably the worst boss in the game.
Yeah. No, the last boss is incredibly dumb and hard.
He's just, like, there's just so much health they've got.
Right.
It's stupid.
Right. So the last level when you're on the boat is pretty good. I thought that's like
the submarine
thing. Is it a submarine? It's
well, it's a surface submarine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when he's got the gun on the boat, that's like a nice level for you to like cool down after having some really tough levels. It's just like, hey, here's this like shooting section that's pretty not super hard, and it's like a reward for you getting to the final stage.
Yeah, it's cool that it's unfortunate that it waits for the last mission to do this, but. It was cool to have like a something that wasn't a metal slug that you can like enter
right.
and use like an item like a stage item.
So later,
I wish
later games they add that right. So they add different. They add like mechs and you can go into cars and stuff.
I do wish there was more of that, like more like mounted kind of guns or things like that. Even if they were like one off, kind of just for this screen, you know.
Right.
Blow up these tanks or whatever it is.
Now, do you...
that was very cool.
Do either of you have memories of playing, or did you recently play this co-op? Because I don't ever have any memories of, like, playing this with a friend, and, like, as I was playing through it, because I had no friends. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so... my friends were probably too busy playing shitty games like Mortal Kombat. But, like, as I was, like, playing through this, I was like, oh, man, I was like, this would be, like, a great... So, like, this would be a great multiplayer game to play, and I just don't have any memories of playing this co-op, like, because it basically plays, like, a way more fun Contra, so.
I almost played this exclusively co-op because I had a younger brother, so.
I will say the second level, the snow level, where the machine gun is the boss, I think it's the second level, that level, like, fucks you up if you're playing co-op, like, hard, because it's, you can scroll the screen and kill the guy below you.
I
want to say the second level is the level that you go vertical.
Yeah,
it's like the where you climb.
Right.
Yeah, I was certainly game arcade games like this. Yeah, you could scroll too far and kill your teammate. Right.
One of those games you take the strategic.
Thankfully,
second player
no,
game over. You know what I mean? Let you get out the hard part.
There's no friendly fire.
No, yeah, friendly fire would just be dumb in this game.
Right, it would be silly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I played this a couple times co-op over the years, and it's pretty fun. I don't know if it's necessarily as fun as Contra, but we can talk about that when we get to the ranking. But yeah, in terms of these games, I mean, this game spawned 17 sequels and spinoffs. 17.
What is the highest numbered Metal Slug?
I think.
Do you know?
Is it 6 or 7? And then there's also an X in there.
Right. I assumed X wasn't 10, but
no,
I could be wrong.
It's. I think it's either 6 or 7.
When I was I was looking up stuff earlier today, like for this podcast about Metal Slug, I saw that there was like a recently in the past like year or so, like a giant like the Metal Slug history. Book had like been released, and like I was like, oh my god, I was like, this is like developed like some giant lore now, and like So much so that, like, someone had to, like, put an entire giant, like, coffee table-sized book together to discuss the complete history of the lore of Metal Slug, and hearing the 17 games, that's...
Yeah, I mean, so it goes to Metal Slug 7. Metal Slug X is a revision of Metal Slug 2. Metal Slug XX, which came out in 2010 here in the States, is a revised version of Metal Slug 7. So, yeah, then the last one came out in 2009. Metal Slug game.
And Metal Slug XXX you can find online.
I'm sure in the other ones there are lady characters as well. But yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of Neo Geo Pocket games and Game Boy Advance games as well. So it's just been all over the place. They actually, I was reading on their Wikipedia page, there was a MMO, a Metal Slug MMO, that was in development.
Huh.
Metal Slug Zero Online, but it never launched.
I saw that Japan got like a 3D Metal Slug game that never made it to America.
Yes. Whoa. So there's Metal Slug 2006 is a PS2 game that only came out in Japan. And I saw that today and I was like, I really want that. I gotta get a Japanese PlayStation 2.
you could modify.
I think I'll pass. I think I'll never play that game.
Yeah.
06, great year.
Chris, I don't know if you saw it.
Great Sonic game.
Chris, I don't know if you saw, but I have space now for another PS2, so I'm just gonna put it on the rack.
Listen, yeah, you gotta get a modded PS2 like I have.
You have a modded PS2?
I do. Because I wanted to play. I don't know if this is going to end up in the cutting room floor. But when Fire Pro Wrestling Returns was not released in America, I figured out how to mod. I bought a kit to mod my PS2, and I did it myself. So I have a top-loading PS2, and you use a... I don't know if it's a Game Shark or an Action Replay disc. But basically, my PlayStation 2 can play Japanese games and can play DVDs from any region. Which also was helpful for my Godzilla collecting back in the day.
Was that a hardware like mod? Did you have to like solder or?
No, it was a part that you could. I don't remember exactly how I did it because I can't solder shit. But it was like something I could. It was like something I could clip in some. I could take a piece out and clip something else in its place, and then like you unscrewed the top of the PlayStation 2 and. You put a new top on top of it that has like a top loading feature.
So it's not the PS2 Slim or whatever it is.
No, it has to be the fat. PS2. Or the original PS2.
I see. The way I work is that I slowly build a list of games that I want for a system that I don't own, and once I get to a certain point with the size of that list, then I pull the trigger and buy the system. Essentially.
See what I do. I just since I already own all the games, I just acquire backups of them digitally, and then I play them on my computer. Because it would be too much hassle to unpack the cardboard box.
I know your stuff. Your collection of games is really, especially the arcade games, really.
I've never seen something like it. So many.
Yeah,
got a lot of arcade machines. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense to be back.
Well, it's good I have backups.
Yeah. You keep the other ones in your storage locker.
Right.
So we mentioned that this game spawned 17 sequels and spinoffs, but for this podcast, I played a lot of Metal Slug. I played it through it a couple times. I also played In the Hunt, and then I played some of the other Metal Slug games, so Metal Slug 2 and 3. And the games get hella goofy. So this one's like animated and cutesy and whatever, but it's still like gory as fuck. In the later ones, like if you eat too much food, you get fat and you just like slow down and
make
you chubby. Yeah. There's also, you can get turned into a mummy. There's like weird shit like that. I think in one of them you can get turned into a chicken.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
What's... I mean, there is like a sense of humor even to one.
Right.
You know,
like the POWs, like for being a prisoner of war, they're kind of like goofy characters.
Or when the bad guys are pumping their ship like with the water and they're like, we gotta get off. It's pretty funny, but.
Isn't like 2 and 3 kind of considered to be like the gold standard for this franchise, though? It's one of the early ones, right?
I don't think one is. I think it's a later one, but I'm not sure which one it is.
I often, like when I was like watching videos and stuff, I often hear it's like, you know, one is great, but, you know, the franchise gets better really quick.
It's got the nostalgia.
Yeah. So SNK acquired Nazca Corporation right around the time this game came out. SNK was not long. Did not exist for very long. I think they went bankrupt in 2002, the original corporation. Exist as, I shouldn't say exist for very long. They probably did exist for very long. Just as the Neo Geo maker. They were like bought by Playmore at one point, and they've been like through a few different iterations. But yeah, they went bankrupt in 2001. Where do you guys think this game ranks on our endless list? So it goes from number one Super Mario 64 all the way down to 92 Jurassic Park Trespasser. Last week we added Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes as our number 18 game. I will start off just this. I will say that this game is not, for me, a better game. Even while I played this now, it might be better looking. I don't think it's a better game gameplay-wise, co-op, just the general experience, than Contra, for me. I think I have a better time playing that game today than I do playing Metal Slug today, as a baseline.
Chris, you have anything to say?
It's hard, because like right when I was first starting to replay Metal Slug for this, I was like, oh, this is like such like a breath of fresh air compared to playing a game like Contra, because this is kind of scratches that Contra itch, but doesn't take itself as seriously as Contra does. Not that like I feel like Contra takes itself super fucking seriously, but it was just like to kind of have like a really fun, over-the-top Contra-esque game that felt like much more of a breezy good time as I'm going through it, perhaps I'm not spending any real quarters on this game. But, you know, that was like me playing it in the moment right now. And it is kind of hard to take a step back and go, is this better or not than Contra?
I mean, I think today the game is better than Contra.
I don't think so.
I don't think so? It's hard.
I think it looks better. I think gameplay-wise, Contra is a better game.
I think the only thing that holds this back gameplay wise versus Contra is that at some point this is meant to be a quarter sucker.
Yeah, I agree. But I think the problem is that that's inherent to, like, it's by design.
Yeah. But also, Contra is like one of those games, if you're not doing like the 30 plus lives code, that's also a game that loves to suck your lives at some point in the game.
I'll agree. One thing I'll say is that the boss design in Contra, I think, is better than in Metal Slug in terms of the diversity of the gameplay. I would also say, just in general, the diversity in the gameplay in Contra makes it more interesting for me personally. I mean, because you have all of the left, right, up and down levels, but you also have the levels that are in 3D that are while not as good, I would say, as the platforming segments, they're interesting, and I don't have a bad time playing them. And I think it's a good thing to change up the gameplay every few levels.
Yeah, this is a lot of frustrating stuff in Contra, though. Like the rocks bouncing down the cliffs at you, that's really frustrating.
There's a lot of frustrating shit in Metal Slug as well.
Yeah, but I guess it's the thought that you can always just throw another quarter in and kind of know that like you're gonna work past it makes it feel like less like I'm gonna like snap my controller in half. Whereas,
I mean, if you're using the 30 lives, it's this very similar in Contra as well.
Remind me, I know Contra, you get like the shotgun or whatever.
You get spread, laser, fire,
machine gun.
You do get laser.
You don't get a shotgun. Yeah. You get spread. But I guess nothing beats the shotgun. Thing. Nothing beats the shotgun in Metal Slug. That was like, you don't get it too often in Metal Slug. But for when you have it, it's like the most satisfying thing to use.
I think that the spread is a better weapon than any of the weapons that are in Metal Slug.
Well, I mean, in Contra, with the spread, you can hit the top and bottom row. There's much less of a top and bottom row in Metal Slug. They're kind of like specific sections. Yeah,
that's
right?
True.
Spread is a better weapon in a sense that, like, yes, it basically fills huge chunks of the screen with, you know, projectiles from you. But the shotgun, while it satisfying. Has a limited range, is blowing people away with the shotgun. And Metal Slug is, whoa, that's a... Listen, you gotta earn that. You gotta earn that shot.
Like a lineup of five guys, so, and they just evaporate.
Yeah.
So here's where I'll go with my argument that Contra is a better game. This game would not exist without Contra, and we're debating whether or not Contra is a better game. So that's just what up.
I'm taking the net.
I think Contra is rated too high, for the record.
So I think this game goes below Contra.
I think that's a pretty good argument. I'm starting to come around to see more what Matt says when he does not like the legacy arguments that we make with games, because yes, I agree that this game probably does not exist without Contra, although I think there's probably like an evolution more from like side-scrolling shooters like R-Type to that submarine game to ultimately this game. So I don't know if this game 100% doesn't exist without Contra, but either way, removing the legacy part, like getting just back to like the today or tomorrow you ask me, would you rather play Contra or would you rather play Metal Slug? I'm going to go, yeah, I don't want to play Contra. I want to play Metal Slug.
You know what leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth about Metal Slug? So,
quarters you held in your mouth because you had no pockets to put them in?
It's a good one. I liked when
you put them on the machine. You put them on the machine.
But then if you're at Good Times, people snag them from you, so you just don't...
Or they fall down the... They fall between the screen and the plastic.
I'm losing my train of thought. God damn it. No,
All right, bad taste in your mouth. Bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
You got a metallic taste in your mouth.
So I talked about how it was good at the end of Metal Slug, the final level where you're on the boat. I would say that, like, that's fun, and then you get to the end boss, and the end boss is a fucking bullet sponge, and he is deliberately designed to take, like, at least $1 from you. So that part sucked, and I would say that there's no boss that's that frustrating in Contra, the original Contra. There's that boss that's kind of like a pro wrestler giant robot dude that can be frustrating, but he's nowhere near as frustrating as how bullet spongy that last boss is. I would also say that I know that the graphics are good and the aesthetic is very pleasing and that the characters are cutesy and that there's a lot of good animation in it, but I will say it is very samey throughout the whole game.
I think
you go on one or two planes, and there's aside from that one level where you go up.
Right. Kind of to your point, Contra feels more platformy.
Yeah.
I think at times. Whereas I think you're right that Metal Slug can be a little one note. I think aesthetically it's not. Like, I think there's a lot of cool and interesting, even if they're functionally not that different, like visually different enemies.
Yeah.
But I think that like the levels themselves, like if you remove the enemies from every level, from both games, I think in Contra, the levels themselves are much more interesting.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say here.
And I think, like, for instance, I think, especially in that second level where there's the, actually, it's really only in the second level.
The button? The button's, really like, pretty cool gameplay thing.
The button is a cool thing, but what I was going to say is certain jumps in the second level feel really unfair or, like, very difficult to, like, predict the spacing of or, like, when you're supposed to jump. And they just feel like they're purposely obtuse to force you to fail and lose a life and put another quarter in. Whereas I feel like the platforming of Contra is more varied and fun than Metal Slug.
So where are we putting this? Above or below Contra is the first question.
I think we're also comparing the home console version of Contra, which is how it is in our list, admittedly, to an arcade version of Metal Slug. Whereas, you know, Contra had like an arcade game that, I don't know if any of us are really familiar with it.
And, no, it's terrible. You know, maybe... I'm familiar with it. It's bad. I think that's why we have the NES game on here.
So I think that says something to the quality of Metal Slug, that we can have a very good discussion about the merits of an arcade game that is designed at some point to take your quarters, which I don't mind. It does that in the final boss. Those developers got to eat. To what is like a refined, what is like a refined home console version of Contra. And yeah, I don't know how much that affects the ranking, but you know, it's like you almost think that like comparing an arcade version of a game against a home console game should be a knock against the arcade game. But at the end of the day, I'm still having more fun without the nostalgia goggles on. I'm having more fun with Metal Slug.
I didn't have to be, to the nostalgia goggles point, I didn't have Contra growing up. I didn't play it until I was older. And I still think the gameplay is more interesting and better to me personally.
Let's table Contra for a minute. So above Contra is Final Fantasy VI. Would either of you put it above Final Fantasy VI?
I wouldn't. I think that game is one of the top RPG
21 games of all time.
Yeah. Well, it is the 21st top game. I wouldn't put it above Final Fantasy VI. I think Metal Slug is really good at what it does, which is a run and gun. But like, I don't see it as being super important of a game, and that's where I'm coming back to it. And I think,
oh boy,
and I also think it's like it has, like, it's a good 40-minute game, whereas you know you're getting 30 hours out of Final Fantasy VI. That's
wow, the value proposition
bigger in scope. Bigger in design, grander.
Well, if you listen to our episode of Final Fantasy VI, I wouldn't call those 30 quality hours. You know, I think out of the 30 hours it takes to.
All right. All that being said, I mean, you know, beneath Contra is Hotline Miami, WWF No Mercy, Castlevania, Papers, Please. Chris, do you think Metal Slug is better than all of those games?
You know, when I looked at this beforehand and I was actually targeting Contra as like where this debate was going to lie, with this. So yeah, I do think it is better than those other games. And
I don't know if it's better than Hotline Miami.
Yeah. I just haven't played enough of it to really compare it to Hotline.
I just think Hotline Miami matches Metal Slug as far as its aesthetic in a general sense. It as far as quality. WWF No Mercy.
Chris, you want to stand for No Mercy again?
No, because I don't.
I could see it being better than No Mercy.
I can see this being better than No Mercy. This is not like Marvel vs. Capcom, where I thought they're kind of two games not in the same planet, but in the same universe, kind of. And I think there's a little bit more to compare to them. I think Metal Slug is in a more accessible gameplay style that I think a lot more people can have a lot more fun with. And you know, like, I can pick up and play Metal Slug for 20-30 minutes, where like, you know, No Mercy, I'm probably going to, I have to be in a very particular mood to play No Mercy, whereas like Metal Slug, I can pass the time with Metal Slug. I can't really pass the time with Contra.
Does that make it a better game than No Mercy?
I mean, what's the most deciding factor as to whether it's a better game? It's just what you're having the most fun with at the time. And you know, then I'm going to say yeah to Metal Slug at this point in time. You know,
I would say I think that again, it's like I think Metal Slug does what it does really good, but is it doing anything new?
I mean, it was 1993 or whatever it was, right?
1996. It was at the same time period where the PS1 and was out for a year and the N64 was coming out. So this game was like a real oddity at the time period. It was a game that was like a super 16-bit game, right? So it was like
I mean, does it have to do anything new? I mean, does it really have to do anything new other than just be fun to play and do it well?
I think it's a t-
I mean, it's up to us to decide that, right?
I think it's a top tier run and gun from the perspective of its aesthetic. I think its visual style carries it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that still means something, even though it's superficial.
Yeah, I would say that as well. I would say, like, if we're comparing this to Hotline Miami right now, I'd say, you know, I think that Hotline Miami has a lot better designed levels. The music is better in Hotline Miami. I think that the aesthetic is cooler in Hotline Miami, but I would say probably the Metal Slug has a better aesthetic.
Let's give our votes.
Average it to where?
Well, I mean, let's say we're all at. So, like, I'm going to say, to me, I think it should be 21.
Above Contra.
Yes.
At 22.
Yes, above sorry. It should be 22. It should be 22. Sorry.
Like, I think it's not as good as Hotline Miami.
So you think it's 24?
I think it's better than WWF No Mercy.
So wait, let me do quick math. I think that Street Fighter Alpha is a better game. If we're just going to average it.
Whoa. I have to scroll down.
I'm just fucking with you. I'm just trying to skew the math.
That being said, I think Streets of Rage is a reasonable comparison, right? That's another game that's got a good soundtrack, good aesthetic. Is a, you know, it's a beat 'em up versus a running gun, but they're, you know, functionally similar.
I think the music and the aesthetic, or the aesthetic in Metal, just the visuals in Metal Slug, is way beyond Streets of Rage. But I would say, you know, the music's obviously better in Streets of Rage. I think that just the gameplay in Metal Slug is way more fun than Streets of Rage currently is.
Yeah,
Beat 'em ups are inherently monotonous. It's always a challenge to make them so that they're not as monotonous. Because it's
just Matt, you have tens and thousands of games in your collection that you have since backed up digitally. So with that in mind, I mean, having access to, you know, this massive collection that you have, I mean, would you really go back and play Streets of Rage? I mean, you have something like Streets of Rage 2 available to you. You know, so what I'm getting at with that is that, you know, you're probably going to go back and play Metal Slug before you're going to go back and play Streets of Rage, because in your vast collection, there are better beat-em-ups available to you.
You know, you're probably right.
Can I just say that, like, realistically, I don't think that this game is better than WWF No Mercy. So I think that this game should go between No Mercy and Hotline Miami as a compromise.
That's where I was thinking it would land.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. We got there.
Chris, I agree with you. I think it's better than Contra. I think Contra is just rated too high.
I have to hold down the history of video gaming here by myself sometimes.
Yeah.
and raise it up on my shoulders and carry
the past is the past.
Video game history.
I mean, we've established in this episode that Matt is the biggest game preserver of all of us. So,
yeah, I'm an archivist.
Yes.
Well, technically, I have just as many as Matt, but.
I don't even know how you guys even track down all these things. Must have went to a lot of flea markets.
I just control F and find all my games. Yeah, I'm fair with that. I ultimately really don't think it's better than Hotline Miami, Metal Slug. I like Metal Slug a whole lot. I have a lot of nostalgia for it. But I think Hotline Miami in 2020 is a better designed game.
Well, there you go. Yeah, went above No Mercy and below Hotline.
I would also say
top 25 for Metal Slug.
Mm.
Yeah, right now.
You succeeded in pushing Oregon Trail down another number.
Someday it will be number 100 and you'll be satisfied.
Yeah. Only then may I rest.
Yeah. So what are we going to do next week, guys? What's next
week? Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to, you know, speak out of turn here. We just did two nice and quick classic arcade games, but we get some big stuff on the horizon, don't we?
You want to give a little big market tease? Big market tease?
Yeah, big market tease.
Yeah, so we're going to do...
Let's sell it.
So we're going to be doing, actually there's one more episode after this, and then we're going to be doing a countdown to our 100th entry on the Endless List. And congratulations, by the way, to Metal Slug, our number 24 entry on the Endless List. So we're going to be counting down to number 100. We're going to have six games that are going to compete for the number one slot. Is what we're going to do over the course of 6 weeks. So you guys can look forward to that. Next week, we're going to be doing one more episode before that. And then after that, so in 2 weeks, we're going to have a whole lot of number one competitors. Some of the best games of all times, as determined by our It's So Bad crew.
I'm going to big market tease and pull the curtain back a little bit based on the way our Discord chat is going, is that one of those six games is not going to come anywhere close to sniffing the number one spot, but I will leave that there.
At least one, I would say.
Could be a couple of those. There's one that's pretty clear cut that I think is not. I think that was going to be lucky to get in Metal.
I started that one, by the way, today, and I was like, ugh, what is this game? Yeah. But nevertheless, I think there will be, my prediction is that four out of the six games will be in the top 10.
Agreed.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think there's a possibility that five will, but the fifth one's going to need a lot of convincing. And what that fifth one is, I'll let you guys think about.
Okay. So everyone's been teased in a big market fashion.
So look for that in 2 weeks. But yes, congratulations to Metal Slug, our 24th entry. We will be back next week with another episode where we will add another game to our never-ending endless list here on the podcast. Thank you, Christopher.
Please, just Chris.
Thank you, Matthew. What was that?
I was gonna say my friends call me Matthew, but you can call me Matt.
All right, well, we'll see you next week. Thanks.